It is at the end of a long summer day. My brothers are freckled with the sun, and Maya and I have sunburned shoulders. And everyone's hair is dry and sticky with the sea. We have sand in our swimsuits and hang around outside by the picnic table as my mother goes in and out of the house, making salads and stirring the sun tea. Maya's were Indians, I say to Maya, because she has come across her name in a book, or thinks she has. Where did they live? She asks. I don't know. Mexico, I think, I say. And they had strange-looking round clay calendars. Our teacher had one she brought back from a trip to Mexico, only not a real one. She hung it in the classroom. I don't remember anything else about the Mayas except they had gold. And then I think, maybe that is the Aztecs. But I don't bother to tell Maya this. I like being able to answer her questions, even if I am wrong. I would like to have gold, says Maya. I would make jewelry out of it. I think the Mayas did too, I say. We can go to the library tomorrow and look it up. The library in summer is the most wonderful thing, because there you get books on any subject and read them each for only as long as they hold your interest, abandoning any that don't, halfway or a quarter of the way through if you like, and store up all that knowledge in the happy corners of your mind for your own self and not to show off how much you know or spit it back at your teacher on a test paper. Mrs. Spinnaker comes out from next door. She is the only one on the beach, like us, without a lot of money. She has no sailboat or fancy things. She comes every year with her little black terrier, Horace, who runs to our picnic table when we are there and barks us into submission. Horace, you leave those children alone, she says, and stalks grumpily over, scooping him up, never acknowledging us, irritated because we have given Horace a chance to misbehave and make her wrong. But we don't mind, Mrs. Spinnaker, we tell her. We like Horace, the way you like a familiar annoyance that spells home. He is part of our summers like the oysters and the sun tea and the sandy bare feet around the table. We wonder if Mrs. Spinnaker knows our names the way we know hers and Horace's. Does she hear our mother call us? Does she sit by her little cottage window and eavesdrop? Does she know not just our names but our characters? That Maya is afraid of things? That my mother rises in the night to write poetry? That Herschel doesn't eat the peas, as the rest of us do, right off the vine? And that Max is always seeing whales? It's another whale, he cries. And we all nod and smile. Who knows? Maybe he does see them. Maybe there are whales the rest of us cannot see. Does Mrs. Spinnaker put her head out the side window, the window not visible from our house, so that we cannot see her looking out to sea, checking for Max's whales? Don't worry, Mrs. Spinnaker, I want to yell to her, in case she does this and it troubles her. It's always okay to do things just in case. It's better to be fooled 100 times than never to look. Who cares if you are fooled? And I make my 100th prayer. Maybe it is a coincidence. Or maybe we never know why our prayers are answered. But anyhow, we are sitting down to dinner, and I have prayed my 100th prayer when he shows up. He is a tall man with shaggy hair and bad teeth, in a suit too big for his sharp, elbowy frame. He looks like a clothes hanger. I keep staring at him, thinking he is the wrong shape for his suit, that he looks old, although you can tell he isn't really, and the suit looks worn. And what is he doing at our picnic table?